I'm a Shih Tzu and I've been for 14 years, and I totally understand where you're going, because I cannot tell you how much horror stories I have heard from, you know, girls that I have trained that they tell me about the Shih Tzu that was there previously or whatever on other boats. And I feel that it's not that they feel they're entitled. I honestly feel that they are working from a place of fear because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Okay.
And because they're so lost and they don't have their shit together, then that has to translate as I'm going to become a micromanager and I'm just going to tell everybody what to do and just freak out on my own and not be a team player, because how can you possibly show up when you're not there?
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like, honestly, like this is the main problem, not problem, but the main issue that I encounter with any team member, whether that be deck or Shih Tzu. And I think you being part of the interior team, in the sense of you being in the galley, you have a lot of interaction with the service team.
Yeah.
And totally, you know, and I think, you know, the same goes with chefs, you know, prima donna chefs, you know, that thing that they are entitled to, I don't know what the fuck. But it's like, we're a team, you know, and I think that a lot of head of departments, they make it to where they are, which honestly, sometimes I don't even know how. Like, the beauty of manifestation, honestly, that's all I can say, because holy shit. But I think a lot of them make it because of circumstances of like, oh, I don't know, the resume looks one way, so then they get the opportunity. They may suck at that, then they get fired or they leave, but the resume keeps telling a different story of what the real story is, and then they continue, and then it's almost like people are not checking references. Like, honestly, people are not.
Really?
And, like,
oh, I get my reference checked so much, and that's so annoying.
So many people don't check references because they say, I don't believe in it because they can lie. I'm like, well, okay, maybe, but maybe they are also telling you the truth. At least it can give you a 50-50, you know, perspective of who you're hiring, you know, because a resume doesn't tell me.
No, but see, anything, like, I think it's really annoying, like, especially because, like, I've been taking a year off. Now I'm, like, getting back in the industry, and it's like I'm registering with agents, and it's like, okay, I have all my reference letters, and it's like they still call, like, my captains, and they still do, like, phone calls. Like, what's the point of having a reference letter and getting, like, all these things? And then they
call. Well, I guess a reference letter is that, a reference to a reference.
Yeah.
So then you get, because anybody can do Photoshop that, you know, in that sense.
That's, like, pretty hardcore, though, if you're gonna.
Oh, I seen some crazy shit. one time they asked me to Photoshop, because I'm a graphic designer by trade, and they asked me to Photoshop this vessel different expiry dates and things, so we could actually pass some Coast Guard kind of shit. I don't even know, some bullshit. And then I quit that job because I thought, wow, this is really scary. Like, these people are here to supposedly make sure that I'm safe, and this is not safe.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm done. So yeah, shit like that happens. But I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about. So,
References.
And
people, like, faking them.
Yeah. And the lack of people that are doing, you know, not doing their job. And you know, one thing is, like, I wonder, I believe that you cannot teach somebody to be proactive. Yeah. You either have it or you don't.
This is true.
And I think yachting as an industry,
you have to be.
You have to be. So if it's, you know, if you're hiring somebody, and maybe you have a super laid-back program.
Yeah.
So maybe that type of people that are not that proactive, that can work for you. But if you're head of department and you can tell that this person is not being proactive within the month, you know, or less, really.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah.
Move it on, because it's going to really take a toll on the team at the end of the day. And I think crew members need to start speaking up more. And a lot of people don't talk about because of, you know, because they don't think they can have a say. But the truth is, you can. This is like your work environment, your family environment at the time. And if you do want to stick around it, you've got to have, you know, everybody has to feel good, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's always going to be something that you can work with. But sometimes there's something that you need to transform.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Transform the crew member out.
And exactly. Anyone yeah. In. So what else coming up for you?
I don't know. But yeah.
So we were talking about personal space, how important personal space, and that brought up the whole thing about us as women having our menstrual cycle yeah. and you guys understanding that within the week and the previous week of it, we're not going crazy. We're just feeling really low in our energy and we need space and we need support from you guys. And that translates to being more kind, more compassionate, asking us, do you need help? How are you feeling? Whatever. Or just be silent. Sometimes yeah. that's enough.
Not bringing up the fact that we're
yes,
on menstrual
exactly.
cycle.
Because it may, and I think, you know, a lot of people bring up that, even women are bullied to each other because they feel uncomfortable around it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what it is, you know? It's like, okay, I'm in your face. I'm showing you something that is uncomfortable. So you're going to freak out.
Yeah.
You're going to resist it.
Yeah.
And in resistance, there's like this thing of like, I don't know how to handle it, so I'm going to bully you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that happens not only for our menstrual cycle, for any emotional encounter that a lot of people have, that people don't know how to handle, so they just bully somebody because that takes away the, they think, you know, that's going to take away the...
That's how they deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. So, and then from there, we went into the lack of productivity of some crew members.
Yep.
And how that can affect the team, and how head of house, housekeepers, head of departments really need to start showing up and making decisions. And when you make a decision as a head of department, you need to take into consideration your entire fucking team, okay?
Yeah.
This is not about what you think, what you need. This is about what the team needs. So I cannot say how important it is to have crew meetings about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this comes from the captain. So many captains don't even do crew meetings for the most part. You know, they might have one or two, but there's not that thing, you know.
There should be more.
Yeah,
and there should be more open conversation. And
exactly.
I think, too, when, like, the head of departments are the ones that are slacking, like, it reflects further down the team, you know. Because you're like, oh, well, they're not doing their job. So, like, you don't have much motivation to put, like, pride into your work because you kind of see other people slacking off. So
yeah, so okay. It's like... Why would I do it if they're not doing it?
Yeah.
My effort is going to be counterproductive in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think, you know, as individuals, obviously, you should have your own standard and know your boundaries within that standard. But your environment affects you. And the fact that, you know, people in management need to stop being managers and start to become leaders. Because
yeah.
a leader inspires. A manager
exactly.
controls. And we don't need more fucking control freaks. We need people to lead. We need people to lead by example. We need people to inspire us, to be more creative, to do our job better,
yep.
you know, to really be fully present. And we're lacking that in the industry so much, in so many levels. And the cool thing, though, is that you can be a leader, even if you're not head of department.
Yeah.
And that is going to take an that's going to really help the environment that you're in, you know? Because a lot of us as crew members, we say, well, we don't have a big saying, we don't have a big effect on the crew. Well, you fucking do.
Yeah.
Even if you believe you don't, you do. So you as a crew member, even if you may not be head of department, you can really do that.
Inspire people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other crew members will do that. And then maybe even the head of department get inspired
yeah.
to do that. Because the truth is, some people are not going to be leaders.
Yeah.
It's just not in them. They don't want to inspire other people, although I believe, you know, humanity really, honestly wants to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But some of us may not be, and that's okay. So at least other people under them could potentially help them to
yeah.
get that fuel that then the other people can't work with.
Yeah.
Know? All right. I don't know what else is coming up for us. This is a very spread out conversation,
yeah.
but I think it all
wide is, topic.
Yeah, and I really think it's very important, you know, to understand personal space, how that affects mm-hmm. you, how to interact with emotional environments,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to and honor those environments, you know,
respect your like other people's
and support them exactly, and how to become a leader and stop being a manager. And how you can become a leader, even doesn't matter where you are in the not hierarchy, but you know, in the
ranking.
Whatever, in the crew. So yeah, what else is
I think too, like sometimes like department leads, like we're talking about chief stews. I think a lot of times people stay in this industry longer than they want. And then when they get to that point, then they're bitter. And then it like reflects on the boat so bad. And it's like they need to leave and they don't want to, or like financially they didn't save enough in yawning over their career. So they have to stay in. So yeah, I think that's like another thing too that kind of happens.
No, totally. And for all of you guys that are in that position that you didn't create an exit plan, because let's be honest, yachting is awesome, but
it's not forever.
No. I mean, some of us try to keep it forever, you know, like, but I'm 35 and I said to myself, fuck, I don't want to be that 40 something year old stewardess, you know, but who knows, I may be.
And
but,
how long have you said you've been doing this 15 years?
14, yeah.
14 years.
Yeah.
So you've had to renew your STCW twice, or you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun. But it was. But what I do want to say about that is that creating an exit plan is very important. Yes. And honestly, like, I have created so many of them. And none of them have worked out the way I planned. And for me, was the biggest exit plan that helped me in that transition, even though I may still be in the industry, is freelancing.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you are in that space where you may not know what to do, but you still want to tap into the industry, maybe because it's something that you're comfortable with, exactly, it's easy because you know what to do and you need the money because it's good money, it's fast and quick, although, I mean, it's a lot of hard work, but you're used to it, is freelancing, because you get both.
Yeah.
You get the time off, so you're refreshed every time you come to a new vessel, so you know there's an exit time.
Yeah.
You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't get involved in the crew drama. You're just like, oh,
you're out there to do your work.
You exactly. Don't like, so instead of becoming bitter and like being in a place that you truly don't want to be, honor that and start freelancing. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the best next thing for those who are in that transition, I think.
And I think that's like a lot of things when people leave the industry, but they still need the money. Like, I think that's when they go into the freelance. It's like, okay, well,
exactly.
Try to set something else up, but like still need a little cash. So like dip in and out when you want and still like have your freedom. So you're not like committed to the boat.
Exactly.
So,
but you're not that bad apple souring the crew environment, you know, because some people do want to be there. Some people do feel excited about their job and they want to become permanent, or they are permanent, because I remember when I was permanent crew for 10 years and I loved it, and that's what I thrive for, and I wanted to be there. And when somebody didn't want to be there, it's like, fuck off, go away.
Yeah,
you know, because you're ruining
our vibe.
Exactly. And that's not cool. So now when I freelance, I go with the highest vibe, and I'm like, I'm here to help, I'm here to support you guys, and sayonara, you know what I mean? Because I know I cannot do this for longer than a month, but because I need my personal space, because I'm in a different mindset now, but definitely I don't bring down the crew in that place. And especially you guys that are wanting to leave a boat and haven't left.
Leave.
Yes. Leave, and if you haven't, then, you know, if you haven't said that you're going to leave, but you have a time frame that you want, please do your best, you know, leave on a high note. Don't start complaining and complaining and complaining, because that really affects the crew that wants to stay around, and we don't need your shit.
No.
So, and I'm sure I'm one to blame. I'm sure I've done that shit. I remember somebody called me out, and they're like, oh, you know, like, we don't need this shit from you. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's true. No, you don't need this shit. And I was like, no, and I changed, you know, I changed how I was interacting, and it brought the crew back up, because it's true. Like, I don't need, you know, we don't need to Because it doesn't work for us doesn't mean it's not working out for others.
Yeah.
And we're basically constantly telling them how shit is their work environment when in fact for them is awesome.
Yeah.
So we're the bad apple for them.
I think too, a lot of times with like longevity, like it's great on boats, but I think sometimes when you've been on a boat like really long too, you kind of get like comfortable in your situation. When new crew comes in, they're more like vibrant and like more they like totally change the crew dynamic and like almost lift people up. Cause like when it's been like longevity and like the same crew for a really long time, it's like you get stagnant.
Which is so funny. Cause like, I remember we were super busy on this boat and we were a really tight crew but the interior kept changing quite a lot.
Yeah.
And every time we had a new girl, the boys were like, oh, you know, they just want to, they're so, like you said, so vibrant. And instead of uplifting themselves with that energy, they were annoyed and resistant to it. Because they were like, they don't get it. We're tired. We've been doing this for so long. Like, they're not part of it. They haven't suffered like we have. And I'm like, okay, dude, but like, what the fuck? Like, we should be happy that they want to be here and they're excited and they have the energy that we don't have. So
exactly.
You know, we can
feed
from
that energy. Like,
exactly.
Lift yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And if you guys are the new crew coming into this, you know, old crew that is completely tired and beat up, just have a little compassion know that they're not. It's nothing personal. It's just that they could give a fuck right now because they're so tired.
Yeah.
So it's not that you're not welcome. But that's really interesting that you said that because literally I remember the day that happened and this guy was like, they don't get it. Like, why are they so fucking happy? I'm like, okay, bro, you need to get laid and go on vacation.
Yeah, that's right. Take a few steps away from the boat.
Yeah.
Like if you're angry that someone's happy, there's something wrong.
Yeah. So you said something, I forgot. What were you saying about previous to this? Longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why it's so important for the captain, especially, I think, because, you know, he's like the one that oversees all, that they really start understanding mental health and what that actually fucking means and start doing things that promote it.
Yeah.
Because we're not promoting it in the industry. It's like more of like, we're going to ride you until you're completely, exactly.
And then replace
and what exactly what is the point?
I think now the industry is changing a lot, like rotations becoming more like more and more common because owners are realizing that it's good to keep the same crew, and to keep the same crew they have to give them more time off.
So there's a lot of rotation, but then I was looking at this post where people were talking about rotations, and they were the people that were on rotation, they were complaining because it wasn't really rotating. Which I don't really understand, but I was like, dude, if you're getting some time fucking off in the middle of the season and you still have a job
and it's permanent,
that's pretty good to me,
yeah.
You know, instead of like being constantly, you know, because also you don't get time off until like a year after, you know, which I think is complete horseshit.
I think so too.
You should have time off every time you're in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, every 6 months, there should be a break.
Yeah.
For people, you know, where you rotate and then it's like, you know, okay, I get it. Not everybody can go at the same time, but make it so there's always people in each department and you can rotate and then you can like refresh. Because a lot of times during the season, you don't even have time off.
No. And then you work those days and then like a lot of boats won't make them off either.
I know, that's complete crap. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Like we need to, this is why it's important to get on contracts and ask what you need and want. And if they're not willing to give it to you, don't work for them.
I agree.
Because a lot of people think they have to take what they're giving. No, you don't.
No.
You need to ask. If you don't ask, you don't get. Yeah. That is the reality of things. And like I saw this because I met this captain and, I worked with this captain. And his contract was completely different from ours.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was like, wait a second. How the fuck are you getting that, but we're not getting this?
Yeah.
He said, well, you're getting asked for it. I'll say, you motherfucker.
You're the captain. You should be looking up.
Exactly. But at the same time, I was happy that happened because I realized I have a fucking thing.
Yeah.
I can ask for what I want. Yeah. And if they're willing to give it, great. If they're not, then I'm not willing to work for you.
Yeah.
Because somebody else will be giving that to me.
Yeah.
So now, you know, that's what I do now. I just ask them, I'm like, if this is what I want, if you're not willing, then
find another boat.
Exactly.
I think it's also like bullshit too that like in the industry when we take our holiday, like if the boat's in the shipyard and you would be getting weekends off and you take your holiday, like those days count against your holiday.
Fuck that. That's not, you're working on the yard.
Yeah, that but I mean, like normally when the boat's just sitting and like there's no owner, you're working like 8 to 5 or whatever the hours are.
Yeah.
But then if you take a holiday over that time, then they don't just count it as like 5 days holiday and like don't like give you the weekend days. You know, it's like your holiday. They count the weekend days as holiday time.
So have
you
like,
had that on
no, thank God.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because like, your holiday away, and your away weekend off is your weekend off.
Yeah.
And honestly, they probably even owe you more than the weekends you're getting on the yard.
Yeah.
If we start counting, you know. Like, I remember one owner who said to me, you know, I told him, this is what I want you know, as a freelance, because I used to work for him permanently. And then when I came as a freelance, I was like, no, my salary changes. You know, this is what I do daily. And he was like complaining. And I said, let's break it down to hourly.
Yeah.
And then I showed him. I was like, do you really fucking think this is enough
right.
for what I do?
Sure, no.
No, it's complete bullshit. Because if you're working 21 hours, 15, 17 hours, you're getting fucking pennies for what you're doing. So
exactly.
It's cool if you're getting 8 to 5. But honestly, how many of us really get 8 to 5 for the most part?
Yeah.
We don't.
No.
So not even in the yard sometimes, you know, because they're trying to crank a yard period in one fucking week.
Yeah.
Not possible. So I really hope this video, some owners can see this so they can start understanding us better.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like owners also need to get more involved into understanding what crew needs and does and how they need to be supported because, and this comes down to the captain and teaching them this, you know, because
I think a lot of time, like, owners think we do nothing, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're just like, okay, well, like, you guys don't work when we're not here.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're only working when we're here. And it's like, no, we work full time when you're not here. There's still stuff going on in the boat.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of owners, like, don't really understand that.
Yeah, I told that to the last owner in the Med this past summer. He said, oh, I'm leaving for 3 days. You have time off. I was like, no, we don't.
Yeah, we're like, we have to
We are moving the boat for 2 days,
which
means watches every 4 hours.
Yeah,
we're doing this, we're turning it around. I was like, thank you, but that's not time.
Yeah,
I was like, straight up with him. And he was like, no. It's like, I appreciate the thought, but it's not true.
Yeah, they're like, if you give us a little more time, maybe we'll get a day off.
Come back. Oh my god, it's crazy what the shit that they do, but they only do it because captains allow them.
Yeah,
that's the reality of it. And so I don't know, what do you think? Is this a wrap? Do you feel good?
Yeah.
Is there something else you want to share?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, we talked a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I hope this helps in one way or another, or at least you got a laugh.
Yeah.
And this girl here has an awesome social media that cracks me up every time. So
what's the Instagram page? Stuck at Anchor.
Stuck at Anchor. If you want a good laugh, check it out.
Yeah.
And because it's so sad at the same time that I'm laughing at shit that is real. And, you know, I'm like, God, that's my life. But I think, but I think it also kind of brings a lot of perspective of the reality of it and like the fact that we can laugh about it, but then also kind of bringing change, you know,
into
of like
history.
Into like, oh, you know what, this is not okay, you know. We can laugh about it, but this is not okay, like what can we do to change it, you know. So anyway, I'm Marianne from Yachts Mermaid, your host for Uncensored. This is Megan, and Stuck at Anchor. If you want to find her, I'm also going to put her email if you need a sous chef or a chef for freelancing.
Perfect.
And so you can find her. And if you have a story or an inspiration that you want to pass on or any wisdom or something that you want to talk about and be part of the show, just please email me on the link below. And that's a wrap.